I was thinking the other day about how lame it is that we've let video games not be exactly like DVD players.
Yeah.
Like, they really just should be, it just should be a DVD player. Right. I mean, it should be an actual DVD player. No, I just mean, like, I think I'm tired of the fractured everything. Yes. And I don't even want, because it's like, you know, we sort of talked about this before, because like when Sony was like, PlayStation 6 is coming, just that feeling of, moment, like what you just had, like there's just this feeling of like, maybe I actually don't really care, and I'm more interested in just like having one place for games to collect over a long period of time. Maybe we should do one console and the PC. I think the PC has to stay. I don't think it would be fair to make everybody switch.
Why not
switch
just the PC, though? And then things like Steam Decks and things like things that are in PC ecosystem.
Oh, that's fine. I mean, to me, you're saying the same thing that I'm saying.
Yeah, their
architecture I don't care about.
I think devices can still exist.
I think people should be able to buy a standalone gaming thing. That's all I'm saying. And I don't care what it is. I don't care about any of the specifics. I just think it should be one, just one thing. And then they buy that, and and we just have that for like 10 years.
Right.
And after 10 years, we do another one. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like 10 whole years where this box you bought does it, is going to do it. And we're just going to keep having games on it. And it's got all the games.
Everything.
And that's it. And then after 10 years, then they can talk about another one.
Yeah.
And then you get that one. And you're like, because I just feel like also it's diminishing returns on these graphics, y'all. I'm getting tired of, I don't care about, I think all the graphics look fine.
I've been so off the graphics bandwagon for like,
You never cared about graphics.
I hate.
I don't think I've ever heard you talk about graphics.
I dislike good graphics. You're at this point. I actively don't like a big new realistic graphics game.
You do not like good graphics. I ain't never heard you say anything. You would never get hired to work at Digital Foundry. If you put your application in, those guys would be like, "You are wrong for us.
They'd
stay
kick
away.
Me out of the building."
They'd be like, "What are you? What?" And you'd be, you'd just be like, "You know what game I think looks good." Is this little pixel indie game.
Yeah.
This pixel art indie game. This is what I think
Thomas Was Alone. It's a game about blocks, and they're just blocks that move around. And
that looks good.
It
and they'll be like, do you want to explain why it looks good? And you'd be like, I think it looks nice.
I can explain why it looks good, because it looks good forever. That's why
true.
It looks good.
You like forever good. You don't like something that might be in the moment good.
Yeah.
You want it to be forever good. I get it. And you know what that means? Pixel art. Every time.
Well, yeah.
That's literally the only
thing
that's going to look good forever.
I know. Like, yeah. Although we have now hit that wave of we're getting N64 PlayStation 1 core. Like we're getting like it looks like this, but it looks good because it's really, really super duper meant to look like this.
That stuff ain't going to look good forever. Pixel art's going to look good forever because it's so... I mean, anything 3D is not going to look good forever.
Right.
It's just impossible.
Right.
I would say that The I get what you're talking about. The PS1, I mean, and I'm excited about that because that's my favorite type. I mean, the PlayStation, the original PlayStation is the best product I've ever bought in my life that I've ever had any connection to. Okay, so I love it.
Yeah.
But it's good because it's flawed.
Right.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
It's not good because, it's perfect.
Right.
It's good because it's a little bit wrong.
Yeah.
And, you know, dithering.
Pixel art isn't wrong.
No.
It actually just looks great. And it
Pixel art is it's the video game equivalent of drawing a picture on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
You're not going to go, if somebody draws the best picture you've ever seen on a piece of paper, you're not going to go up and be like, man, this would be a lot better if it was something else.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like, no, it's a perfect little picture.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
If somebody draws you, you know, a picture of Captain America, but he's got a big butt, you know, a big juicy butt. You're not going to be like, oh, that's a problem, you know?
I hate this. The butt's out of perspective with the big chest muscles.
You ever seen that picture of Captain America? Yeah.
The
his chest is, like, not facing the same way. It's like his chest has his own separate...
You are forced to try to convince yourself that it's Photoshopped. And then they show you that they actually Photoshopped it down, and the real picture is even thicker.
Yeah, it's even thicker. Yeah. That's Rob Liefeld, who can't draw feet, famously. That's something about that guy.
So Quentin Tarantino will never hire him.
Yeah.
Let's go!
Gamers Almanac.
Oh,
it's a flirty look at today and 30 years ago, but today is the emphasis.
Yes, we're emphasizing today. We're doing a bit of a grab bag episode. We got two little games to talk about instead of one big game. And that's part of the pragmatic situation we're in right now. We're grabbing stuff off the shelf and saying, what about this? That's where we're at in the creative process.
And we decided that before recording, and then we both played these games, and I think we both are like, good. Don't think I could do a full episode about either of these games, actually.
Oh, no. Definitely not. I was worried about doing a half episode. I'm worried about not having enough to say in the half episode. Yeah. Because you know me, I don't like going negative, all right? If I don't like something, then I'd rather just not say anything about it at all, which is awkward for podcasting, just because I have this, it's part of my philosophy, everybody. If you look out into the universe, what do you see? There's a lot of negative space out there, you know, actually, in the universe, you know, it's a lot of emptiness. And we do find out that the emptiness has a little bit going on in it, but to my human eye, there's more nothing than something. Mm-hmm. And I would say the nothing is inherently negative and the something is inherently positive. So I consider myself a guardian of the something, guardian of the positive.
A guardian of the something, Hunter Donaldson.
That's me, Hunter Donaldson, guardian of the something. And I'm
what a good fantasy novel, like a kids YA. YA novel. Hunter, guardian of something.
Guardian of something. I protect the something. And then, like, my rival is, like, the protector of nothing, you know?
Oh, my gosh.
The nothing protector.
Now it kind of just sounds like the Lego movie, actually, a little bit.
Okay.
I've
not seen the Lego movie.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't see
it. It's really great.
I know. And whenever it was in theaters, you would just see people walking right out of that room saying, that was really good. Yeah. Now, that was all they would say is something I noticed. Mm-hmm. That was one of those, there's movies that come out every once in a while. There's not one like this right now that I wish would be a good example, but there's movies that come out every so often where everyone agrees that they're good, and then if you don't see it, it's funny because no one is specific as to why it's good. Mm. They just kind of say, oh, that was good. I liked that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then that's it. That's where it is. And Lego Movie was that type of thing.
That's funny.
I'm sure there are qualities about it that you could isolate, like, especially after I'm saying this, I'm sure there's plenty of things that jump out at you, but no one said
at
it
at the time.
Year.
That's at not the what time, people were no saying one bring, as they brought that out up. Of the theater, right?
They just said, ooh, that was good.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
It's the equivalent of like,
it was
like,
too new to them. That's the problem. It was that they didn't know what they were reacting to yet. It was so new. They were like, that was different. And it was great, I guess. Yes, because it was so different.
Yeah, isn't I hope I'm not wrong here. Isn't it sort of like the proto Spider-Verse
movie? It
is
movie? Exactly.
Yeah.
They changed animation forever, actually. Right. Is what the Lego movie did. They edited on the twos. They decided to slow down the frame rate for random bits because they wanted it to look like stop motion.
They wanted CG to look like traditional
and
animation.
And that choice, that's the whole thing. Completely changed.
Yeah, we got that Turtles movie off that.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Now that's like a Whole House style.
Right.
If anything, it's like now that Pixar is not the cutting edge anymore, like that is sort of where things are.
For sure.
Yeah, Puss in Boots: The Last Wish. Excellent movie. We didn't talk enough about Puss in Boots. I'll tell you that much. You didn't see it?
No, I should have.
You would have loved it.
I bet.
You would have loved it. I saw that with someone I was dating at the time, and she got scared. She was like, I'm scared.
I'm scared of this movie.
I'm scared. There were parts where she was like, I'm scared.
That's
it's a little
great.
Too much
Very
for her.
Good.
She did not like horror movies.
Interesting.
It goes, I think, without saying.
There was a point in time where Molly liked scary stuff. I wonder.
Really?
Yeah.
What was she watching? What were you showing her?
There was this thing. Have I not told this story? There was this thing on HBO.
She's like watching Saw or something.
Not far off.
Whoa.
So there's this thing on HBO that is this like freaky animation. It's like 6 minutes long or like 12 minutes long or something. But the thumbnail for it popped up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like this goofy claymation character, but it's black and white. And it's got big old eyes and weird hair coming out the side.
Yummy.
And it's called Opal.
Opal.
And
okay.
She's like, I want to watch that funny face movie.
So funny.
And then it opens up on a panning shot of beer cans and cigarettes all over the place.
God.
And it's a very moral oral kind of thing. And it's real freaky.
That's
and then funny. there's like adults cutting in. And it's all from Opal's perspective. And the adults are like, everything's bad. And then Opal's just like, I don't know what's happening.
Wow.
And it gets very like Eraserhead.
Yeah.
And Molly just... I looked over and Molly's just watching it wide-eyed and I was
wow.
Katie and I were like Katie and I are pretty open like with TV generally and that was something where we went I think this might destroy our daughter if we let her ever watch this ever again. We have to, make this. This is for later.
Damn, come on, let her be cool.
No, this would not be cool.
Why are you so dedicated to raising a lame child?
You gotta watch it to know that it would not make a cool 4-year-old.
There's no way that I am gonna think that it wouldn't make a cool 4-year-old. There's no way.
It would break a child.
There's literally, no, Matt. It's what is it gonna get her? It's a show, dude. It's a show. It's not real.
Stay inside of her brain.
It's not real.
You don't know, man.
Well, as soon as she turns 8, we're playing Silent Hill 2.
That's fine.
I've already said
that's fine. I'm not just saying it's scary. I'm saying it's like it's just on this other level.
Uncle Hunter's coming over. And we're doing a Let's Play. We're doing a live Let's Play. Silent Hill 2.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
That's great.
She needs that.
Do we want to talk about one of these games?
Yeah, we can start talking about the games.
We can.
I think we should talk about Open Roads first.
I agree.
I think we're going to be more negative on Open Roads.
Yeah, we just need to get out of it.
And Pepper Grinder, actually, I'm not actually going to be negative about Pepper Grinder at all.
Yeah.
I'm just maybe not the target audience. Sure. But Open Roads.
Open Roads.
Yeah, what is it?
So
actually, I want to describe Open Roads. You do Pepper Grinder because I think...
I'm on Pepper Grinder.
You're more a Pepper Grinder guy. Okay, so... And I'm just not really very strong about either of these, but I'll describe Open Roads. So Open Roads is a spiritual follow-up to Gone Home, which has already gotten its own follow-up in like Tacoma or whatever.
Yeah.
But if you don't know what Gone Home is, that's like kind of one of the premier walking simulator type games. It's a narrative game where you walk and pick up 3D objects and read stuff and hear voiceover, and there was sometimes music that was pretty good. Open Roads is a story like that. This time it's about a daughter and her mother who have just their grandmother, or her grandmother I should say, has died, and they are now kind of picking through their grandmother's stuff, and they find a little bit of a mystery. And their relationship is also a little bit frayed too. It is a game mostly about walking through 3D environments and picking stuff up. It has an interesting sort of mixed media approach to narrative, which is that all the environments are 3D. The characters are 2D and animated in a completely different style.
Yeah.
And I will say, to just jump into a little bit of analysis, this both worked and did not work for me.
For sure.
I would say pretty frequently. I would say even within a scene, I might be like, oh, I like this. No, I don't like this right now.
The big hang up for me is the 2D animation isn't even really fully animated.
There's no voice matching.
Really, it's the equivalent of like what a pixel art game or what a Super Nintendo RPG would have to do, where it's like the character shrugs.
They have some
and
poses.
That's like for the whole thing. And you really just have like a handful of repeat poses. And that could be a stylistic choice, but it comes off as a cost saving measure.
Yeah,
like it just makes the whole game feel like we had to cut corners to get this thing out. I have no idea if that is the case or not, but I'm saying that's how it feels. It's just like, oh, we just kind of storyboarded this out and had to get it out there.
It's an interesting execution problem to analyze, because yes, it also felt like cost cutting to me. And I think it just depends on the level of execution of everything else.
Yep.
The 3D environments are really pretty.
Yeah.
And I think they have like really good lighting and stuff. And then the actual quality of like, you know, the mother and daughter, as far as like how they look and stuff, they're very well realized.
Right.
It's just something about, I think, combining the two of those things that kind of casts the whole thing into like a slightly negative light.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good like story stuff in here.
Yes.
And which I also have, there are some complaints I have with that even, but I do feel like the thing I'm the most negative about is the clashing of the 3D and the 2D. And I think I honestly would have maybe just preferred there be less like dialogue, to be honest. Like
I would have
wanted to cut down.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe less dialogue. I almost think there shouldn't have been animations to the poses. They could have just been static images that then like cycle through things.
Well, but that would look weird too, because especially if, so there's the car.
Yeah.
The car isn't so bad because the car has moving elements, so that maybe it does actually kind of be bad. But what I really didn't like was it, the beginning of the game, and I mean, you continue to go to places and have this problem, but anytime there's dialogue, it's you're just wherever you're at mm-hmm. in that 3D environment, and then they're just like standing
kind
of like in yeah. front of the frame. It looks kind of like that Brad Pitt movie. Like it's sort of like it's that Brad Pitt movie Cool World.
Okay.
Where it's like Brad Pitt is like in love with this. It's sort of like Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Oh, okay.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit is a really good movie that has live action and animation in it because those animators went to town.
Yeah.
And they made it. They did a crazy amount of work. Dump trucks of yeah. work. And then Cool World is like that, except lazier and also more interesting in some ways. I don't want to say this is a bad movie, but you just get this impression that the cartoon character is just standing in yeah. front of the camera. They have no like kind of depth to
uh-huh,
them.
Uh-huh.
And that is what the dialogue yeah. sequences feel like.
I would describe it this way is you play the game from the daughter's perspective.
Yes.
And so then when you cut to a cutscene, well, I was just somewhere as the player.
Uh-huh.
So I know where the girl is standing. I never know where the mom is.
Dude, yeah, what is the mom
where
doing?
Where is the mom?
Dude, and she disappears the second you get done with the dialogue yeah, yeah. sequence because she's not actually
she's not in the
3D environments
right.
at all.
Yep.
And so it's just kind of this weird compromise, and I hate to harp on it because it feels like a categorical problem. I hate yeah. having these types of problems
sure,
with games.
Of course.
But I had really struggled to get into this game
yeah.
because of this execution choice they made.
Yeah.
And I do think that it's fair to have this problem because I felt like there were things in the story that I was excited about.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm not super excited about how some of them played out,
mm-hmm.
but I felt this sense of really kind of struggling to get into the game. The game is short, people. It's like 2 to 3 hours long,
yeah.
basically.
Yeah. It's and the other part to me that felt like cost-saving measures is, and this is a bit meta, but it stars Carrie Russell and Caitlin Dever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, great cast. And
oh,
honestly,
yeah. they do
I think they do an incredible job.
Honestly, maybe they
kept
do too good
going.
Of a job.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe that's what it is that they're actually being really phenomenal. And that is another thing that is making the lack of fully yeah. animated voice work.
Right.
It's more class. If they had
more
hired
detached.
Worse actors,
yeah.
then maybe it would feel a little flatter.
Yeah.
And then that animation problem wouldn't like hit you as hard.
Yeah, definitely. But the plot of the game, to get more into it, they are uncovering this mystery about the grandmother and whether or not she had some secret lover after or like right at the time of the grandfather's death, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And they're traveling to various locations to uncover more. They're going back to a childhood home that the mom grew up in. And then they eventually go to this dude's houseboat.
Yeah.
the last location you go to is the houseboat. And the exploring of the scenes is, I think the locations feel good. Like, they're well-realized,
yeah.
well-built locations.
Mm-hmm.
From the, like, game design things, like, aspects of it, I feel like you feel the hand of the designer too often.
Yeah.
Mostly in the locked door, we gotta find the key.
Right.
That is what happens in almost every room, like every location you go
there's
to.
There's a remarkable amount of keys.
Yes. Yeah. And to that end, too, there's a remarkable amount of, it's amazing that people are just keeping letters around with all of the
sure.
interesting details. I mean, that's, you know, that how can you poke holes in a narrative on quite that level? Like, it feels like now I'm being mean. But it does, like, that is what starts to wear on you is
yeah.
it's like, wow, everything we conveniently need to learn this story is here. And there's like nothing, there's barely anything extra. There's
yeah.
some extra. There's world building stuff in there too. But Gone Home felt much more like just this
lived-in
house.
Yeah, let's talk about Gone Home a little bit.
Yeah.
So I want to say Gone Home also has a remarkable amount of, God, everybody's writing notes,
mm-hmm,
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it has silly like key stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. So it has both the things that Open Roads has. But you know what also does, what it doesn't have is dialogue
yep.
and another characters that we're meant to think of as like concrete human
right.
beings the whole time.
Everybody's a memory in Gone Home.
Yeah. Gone Home is you are this person and we're going to learn stuff about this person kind of through the world of the story. But that world, it has like an internal consistency
yeah.
that I feel like Open Roads kind of betrays by having this sort of multimedia approach
yeah.
of like, we've got dialogue.
Yeah.
Because here's like in Gone Home, really all there is we've got environmental storytelling and we have like the VO of you reading the various notes. And that's sort of how we tell basically the entire story.
Right.
Open Roads takes that same formula and adds on top of it dialogue and internal monologue that isn't just reading the thing.
Right.
Which actually, to be fair, maybe Gone Home had a little bit of that. I don't really remember, though. I remember Gone Home as if, like, all I did was, I'm not even really sure exactly who I am, except for all the context I'm getting from all the various notes I'm reading and stuff like that. So I feel like it's kind of a story of, like, we've got two games here, one of them with maybe a few too many extra dimensions on top of it, and that if they had scaled it back, that it would have that same kind of connective tissue that I feel like Gone Home really delivers. Yeah.
I do think, to heap some praise on it, I think the story being told in this, once you get to the end of it, is all like actually worth it, especially for being like a 2.5 hour little ride. Mm-hmm. Like for being a little romp, as long as you can get over the like, this feels really, really basic, which it, honestly, if that's your complaint, like why are you playing a walking simulator in the
first place? No, you shouldn't be. Yeah. So you, it's not the genre for you.
Yeah.
And I do like, I like the characters. I like that this is a game about a mother and daughter.
Yeah.
I think that it, I wouldn't push back on the types of stories they're trying to tell. It's more like the way it's told that wasn't satisfying to me.
I really liked the sort of Kentucky Route Zero / just like role-playing game thing where you do get dialogue options sporadically in your conversations. There's a lot of just scripted stuff, but when it comes to a point in the dialogue where you get to make an option, you really get to decide
who Tess sort of, is.
Yeah, who Tess is. You really get, especially, it really comes down to the game wants you to decide how you feel about your dad, who is this dude who's just sort of kind of run off to Las Vegas.
He
kind of
sucks.
He kind of sucks. And I wonder what, like, I wonder how a 16-year-old plays this game.
Right.
And especially 16-year-olds from like different backgrounds compared to like, I know I'm playing this game in a different way too.
Oh.
Like, and I'm then, I
wonder
the difference.
Because I'm more of a 16-year-old.
Well, and I'm wondering.
So I was actually just really mean to him. Were you mean to dad or were you nice to him because
particularly nice to dad. No, I thought dad was like, I played Tess as if like, I like my dad, but yeah, he's kind of a dipshit. Like, I get it. I get why him and mom aren't. Like, there's a lot of instances where you could try to put in dialogue where Tess is trying to get mom and dad back together, and I never went for that bait at all.
No way.
Mom and dad
no
seem good apart.
Yeah.
Seems better.
Yeah, yeah. Not a big fan of dad. So, yeah, no, I pretty much always went as negative on dad as I possibly could, as it would allow me. Which, yeah, I mean, the choices there are within, you know, they're within the prism of the character that they're trying to show you. I will say, here's kind of my, we're going to get maybe a little bit meta here. So Annapurna, which is the publisher, I feel like their games all kind of have this really similar look to them. And this game kind of has it too, of like, it's very competent. It's very bright.
Yeah.
And I think that there's a lot of really good 3D modeling work in the game. I think that these games, they kind of wear on me a little bit because they feel a little toothless. Maybe that's a mean adjective. They feel a little bit like they kind of don't excite me because they feel a little too safe.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the best way that I could put it. And I felt that sensation very quickly on starting this game.
Yeah.
And the deeper I got into the mystery, the more I was like, this is whatever, wherever we're going, this is not going to be like, I'm not going to be surprised
by any of
this. Yeah.
It's an incredibly predictable ending.
Yeah.
Which didn't, like, I don't knock that necessarily, but especially, it's if you've played Gone Home before this, it's hard to not have Gone Home in your mind.
Right.
And Gone Home was not predictable to me the first time I played it.
No.
That one completely slapped me across the face with its twist.
That was a fun reveal.
Yeah,
Gone Home.
So for a narrative game from the same team as Gone Home, you go into it kind of being like, where are we going to go? And then the whole time you're like, it really feels like we're kind of setting up the obvious twist here. And then it just is that. And you're like, yeah, okay. But on the flip side of that, no, it's not a very interesting twist, but I do believe there's such good character work here that I came away from the story overall being like, I like what they were talking about in this game. Open roads. They are talking about generational communication.
Sure.
It's about a daughter who's kind of having, is in a weird spot of how do you communicate with your mom? And it's from the perspective of a mom whose mom just passed away and she had communication problems with her. Not unhealthy communication problems, like normal teenage shit. Like, how do you go being a parent from a small child who cannot communicate properly to your child becomes an adult and you need to start telling them stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that's weird
and hard. That's a difficult transition.
And kind of nobody does it right. And that's what this game is about.
Yeah.
Is like, well, at the very least, probably not ever talking about it is not the solution. And some form of open communication, a la open roads, is a better path forward.
I think I do. I hadn't realized until you made this point that I do actually completely agree with this, because I was going to say my one thing in the main positive column for me is that my favorite sequences are just being in the car with your mom.
Yep.
It's also
good.
It's visually better because your mom is, you can see her in the seat.
You're actually in the space.
You're actually
finally
in the space.
Together.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't move in it now.
Right, right.
Which is, turns out, just better.
Well, and that's the thing, is like, sometimes you got to take, it's like what I was saying before about dimensions.
Yep.
If we got too many dimensions in play, then maybe we have too many things happening, and then it's kind of stretching believability. Take a dimension away, make it where, oh, I can't move around, but I can look around.
Right.
All of a sudden, it works a lot better.
It does.
Yeah. And yeah, I love that. Those are my favorite sequences. And they're also the sequences that are the least about the plot and the most about the relationship between the characters.
For sure.
And
for sure,
that I think is what they did the best.
And in those same scenes, the only thing you have to interact with is your cell phone.
Yes.
And you get to text your best friend and your dad. And
yeah.
So you start having conversations with mom, learn a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, let's text dad. Let's see what dad's got.
Yeah.
Oh, dad doesn't seem to be sharing the same story. Mm-hmm. And let's go back to mom. And you just get like, you feel that like nobody's telling me what's actually going on because I'm kind of bouncing back and forth between both. This game is more about like a pretty decent story and good dialogue than it is about the game. Like than the actual mystery and the uncovering items to find stuff. There's a lot of dumb just like Skyrim items in this game where it's like, you can pick up this bowl.
Yep.
Okay. There's nothing on it. Nothing of note will be taken
you
from
can
it.
Pick it up,
everything
though.
You learn in this game is from notes that people wrote that you end up reading in like a separate text window anyways. It's like hand scribbled and you can't quite read it. So then you can hit Y and it just gives it to you in plain text
and
you just read it that way. And that's the whole story. And it's like, I kept grabbing every item being like, surely some world building will be like on the bottom of this very old duck statue. Nope, nothing. Okay, great.
Yeah.
I don't know why they wanted me to pick that up then.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is funny because you can't pick up everything.
No, exactly.
You can pick up almost everything. You can pick up almost everything, which is a really funny way to do it. Yeah, I think that I want to talk about the walking simulator in general before we get on to our next game, because I think this is a fun opportunity because we haven't talked about this genre since Stanley Parable Ultra Deluxe.
Right.
Which, I mean, if we were comparing it to that, Stanley Parable Ultra Deluxe is doing like 50 different things and staying in the correct dimensions. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Keeps it about walking, has a lot of, like, they just keep coming up with new ways to kind of throw stuff at you.
Yep.
Now, it is comedic. It's not going for, like, any sort of, like, very grounded, real people type stuff.
Yeah.
So that's maybe a little bit unfair. But to be honest, the game's called Open Roads.
Yeah.
I thought from the trailer that it was more actually about a road trip, which I think would have required a little bit of more gameplay that we didn't have. The only reason it's called Open Roads is because there are sequences in between the bigger sequences where you're in a car.
Yep.
But in no way am I playing a road trip. I don't do any road trip stuff. Yep. I never pull a map out. I'm not like navigating.
Right.
We're not stopping to get gas. I'm not saying these sound like fascinating gameplay like elements. But what I'm saying is that like, where walking simulators are to me is that it makes sense for them to introduce the drip feed of gameplay.
Yeah.
And it doesn't even have to be quote unquote real gameplay.
Right.
It doesn't have to have an actual impact on the story or plot at all.
No.
It can just be, I am getting an investment in the real, in the world of this. I think that very quickly, it's sad that, so Gone Home comes out, everybody shines a big spotlight on it. Like, these games are here and they make sense and people should be checking these out because they're great narrative experiments. And then you have Firewatch.
Yep.
And I think really Firewatch showed like, okay, so this is how it should be from now on, mm-hmm. is you got that little bit of gameplay in there too, yeah. because in Firewatch you navigate right. an environment,
yeah.
you pull out your map, you have to do, and again, it's not real gameplay, but it's yeah. like you climb up stuff, you climb uh-huh. down stuff. There's just that little bit of let's try to make the player feel like they actually live in this
yeah,
world.
Yeah, it puts you in the world in a more tangible way. Even
yes.
if, it's not saying anything has to be difficult,
right.
but it's saying like, I need you to feel the impact of the space.
It's so that the environmental storytelling can hit harder.
Exactly.
And that's this game even doesn't stay in one environment no. long enough to actually make the environmental storytelling right. aspects feel very pertinent.
Yeah.
So I think, which is funny again, because it's like, it's called Open Roads. Technically it's about a road trip. None of the road trip stuff feels very road trippy.
Yeah.
So that's not like a gameplay
right.
opportunity. It obviously the way the story is shaped, you could not have told it in one environment,
right?
But if for some reason you could have, I think that would have worked better.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? I'm basically saying it didn't need to be a road trip game,
right?
And that somehow there was probably a way to tell this story just in one location, and the environmental storytelling would have hit harder. But I also feel like there's something about, like, this is also Gone Home. I don't want to spoil the trick of it,
yeah,
but when you are exploring a 3D environment, like in this style, there's a certain amount of natural scariness to it.
Yeah, sure.
Because it's kind of empty.
Right.
And Gone Home very smartly yeah. plays with the idea that this is, that there's, it feels kind of horror-ish.
Spooky.
Yeah. yeah. Why right. are we having almost spooky stuff?
Right.
And in Open Roads, every time I would feel a sense of, it is kind of spooky, it would be like, well, that's just because that's what this is, that type of game.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it just feels weird.
Yeah.
It's not because the game wants me to feel really
spooky. You just
at
feel
all.
Distant from it.
Yeah, you just feel a little weird.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it does feel like in the walking simulator world, it's easy to go spooky because yeah. it's just naturally spooky. But
yeah.
yeah. Anyways, I don't want to hate on it too much. It does a cool thing. I just don't know. I don't think it will come up again later.
No.
That's really what it is.
Not a game of year thing. Not yeah. a thing that's going to hold to. But I think if you like this genre, you should play this one. Because I do think it's a valuable narrative and a valuable performance.
I'll echo that and say, I think if you like the idea of playing a game that has a mother-daughter relationship,
oh,
that's good.
Yep.
And has a lot of smart dialogue between the two of them, and also with good voice acting.
Yep.
Maybe the animation's not great, but the voice acting is very good. I think you will like it for that.
Yes.
So
absolutely. Let's talk about Pepper Grinder.
All right, it's Pepper Grinder time.
It's Pepper Grinder time.
Pepper Grinder.
Pepper Grinder is a 2D pixelated action platformer, mm-hmm. which means Matt wanted to play it.
Matt did want to play it.
So Pepper Grinder is you walk around, you can jump. You got a big drill. Neither the walking nor the jumping feels particularly good. In fact, sometimes it feels pretty bad
yeah.
to do the walking and the jumping.
Yeah.
But that's because...
Don't say that.
The whole point...
You're stealing my point.
Is that your point? Is that all Hunter had to say about this game?
I'm like, it's a cool game, but the game feels not quite my speed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's well, also not very long.
It's super short.
It's like short, and I don't love the game feel. So that's tough.
It's... The part of the game that's supposed to feel good is the drilling bit.
Yes.
Point that drill towards the ground, and now you're like a little snake going yeah. through the thing. And if you've ever played, I used to play a game called Nimbus that was your little like rocket. So it's not mm-hmm. quite the same. There's more gravity at play, but
right.
it's that same kind of like trajectory and curves. It's a little bit, you know, I'll say Dig Dug, but it's not a fair comparison.
No,
to,
it's
like,
not a
say
Dig
Dug. But what you're doing in the platforming is drilling through dirt, and then sometimes when you come out of that dirt, you get a little bit of like a momentum boost.
Mm-hmm.
So then you're like doing jumps from like a dirt patch to a dirt patch. You're collecting gems, you're killing some enemies, you're trying to get to the end of the level. It's a little bit of a small collectathon, and I've been paying attention to this game the last like week or so, and I'm seeing reactions to it that complain about the smallness, and I just want to say, my favorite thing about this game
yeah.
is it's small, which means it's a nice little thing that I don't feel intimidated by, to know I actually haven't like done everything I want to do with this game yet, but I know I will get to. I'll be able to 100% this game in like less than 10 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And well, to me, that feels really great.
I hope no video game executives are listening, because I think as a value proposition, I think it's fair to complain about the lack
short
of...
Short game. It's also it's a just, cheap game.
It was short and cheap. Yeah. But I think I paid like $20 for it.
That's cheap to me. I don't know.
I don't know. I feel like I've given $20 to a game that had a lot more to it. But and that also feels bad though, because it's I don't want it to feel like I'm saying, oh, for $20 I should get like time endless equals. Entertainment or something like that, or that everyone should be torturing themselves to like maybe it's good. It's maybe it is actually a pro that it is like if you want a game that you can sit down with in a day and like get and feel like I'm getting this done. We are getting done on this one.
Yeah, yeah.
And if $20 sounds good to you, then I think that it will work out. But I mean, yeah, it is fun. Like you're drilling through the dirt, and it's almost like you're flying. It is like flying,
right? Yeah, it's like a flying game where there's certain terrains you actually can't fly in, and you're at the behest of gravity, and you're trying to hit the next terrain where you can keep flying.
You
or
get
whatever.
Some good momentum going. It has a flow state that you can kind of get to.
Well,
sometimes.
So let's talk about the flow state of this game, because I do think that's the other part that like. What is different about this game than, say, like, we'll compare it to Celeste, because we've talked a lot about Celeste on this show. And the thing we like about Celeste is I'm on this screen. I can replay the screen, like, over and over again until I figure it out. And this Pepper Grinder's, like, difficulty curve, it's never, like, a wildly difficult game. But even its difficulty curve is not quite really on the level of, like, do that and retry it. It's actually quite bad at, like... pulling you backwards to like a save state or whatever. It's okay at it. There are little lamp posts you light, and that's like where you'll spawn in if you fall into a pit or something. Actually, if you fall into a pit, sometimes you just warp to the closest ledge. But if you run out of lives, you'll go back to a little lamp post.
Hell yeah.
You never run out of like overall lives though. You never get just like fully kicked out of the level, and that's the part that makes the game feel especially easy, because you're just like, I'm always only going to be as far back as the most recent lamp post,
right?
Which is like not very long ago. Which I'm saying all of that to say, these levels themselves aren't even that long, and there is a time attack mode also in the game. And I really think the like conceit of the levels is you are meant to do the whole level in one shot every time. If you miss the coin you wanted to grab, you know, you got to get like 5 of these like skull coins in every level. If you miss one, it's not very fun to like backtrack and try to do it.
Yeah.
You need to restart the whole level. It's not long. It's maybe like a minute long level if you like go through them fast. Sometimes like they get a little bit longer, maybe up to like 4 minutes or something if you're like going fast.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think the levels are just designed to be this like start from the very, very beginning and go through the whole thing, because it's all about motion and getting better at a smooth, fluid, snake-like motion to do the whole level rather than like this screen's challenge.
Yeah.
And that's what's been hooking me more is... Because I'm a restarter anyways in these games, and it felt like this game was like, hey, we actually kind of made this for you to do that. Like, hey, do the whole run and do it better, like perfect it a little bit, but it's not so long or anything that it feels, I don't know, gross or like it's disrespecting my time.
Yeah. I also, though, wouldn't say that it is very challenging.
No.
In particular, there are boss fights in the game that are just kind of, I don't know, I mean... Yeah. You just kind of walk through. I don't know. There's not a lot going on.
I found them again. The first time you fight them, you're like, you kind of quickly learn what you're supposed to do to them. And then that's fairly repetitive. I think time attacking the bosses is fun.
Okay.
Because like let's use the first boss as an example. Mm-hmm. It's just this little guy that's riding on the back of like a beetle. And you're waiting for the beetle to crawl up to the ceiling. And then you get up there and you hit the beetle from above. Like you get its belly, basically. You got to expose its belly, hit the belly. That's like the easy basic thing to do. And like normally you would do that on like 4 cycles. But the thing that you can do to try to get the best time attack is the first time you do that, then you got to hit the dude that was riding him that fell off. and you are playing a new popcorn game, if you can keep him in the air, he'll never reset back to the beetle, and you'll get the faster time going as... So it's like, it becomes the boss fight. The first time you did it was like, whatever. When you're trying to do it four times, and everything on your mind is like, how can I burn through this as quickly as possible? The game gets more fun,
okay,
I think.
So you kind of add... You're kind of adding the difficulty to
you
it.
You are, yeah.
By saying, like, it's got to be fast. So it's sort of like if you were playing Penny's Big Breakaway, mm-hmm. and you were like, I don't care about doing sick tricks,
right?
And like it, because then that game is probably quite a bit
easier.
You
just kind of get through the platform.
But if you start caring about the sick tricks,
right?
If you want to get it all done in
and
one,
and you
want to
get all the power ups or whatever, not power ups, the collectibles.
That's where the game really kind of starts to shine even more. Okay, so I feel like you're kind of winning me over here a little bit. I mean, the fundamentals are there, the art is not quite. It's just not notable enough to me, is the thing.
It's too... We started this episode off talking about, like, I don't know, pixel art's good. But it's like, this is about as generic of pixel art as you
can
get.
It's just tough because it's so... There's so many games... There have been so many games with this kind of art style to it that it's like you really have to have some sort of hook in order for it to, I think, kind of register.
Right.
And I would say that as far as art design goes, it doesn't quite have that hook. It doesn't look bad. No. It doesn't look bad at all.
No.
But it also, like, is hard for, it's hard to it to be in my brain.
Right.
Like, for me to say anything positive about it in this moment, it would be kind of impossible.
Yeah.
But the main character reminds me a little bit of the main character from Iconoclast.
Okay.
Which is a game with infinitely better pixel art, basically.
Gotcha.
But it's also like that game also just has so much else going on. It would be cool. We should do Icon. I think you would actually like Iconoclast because it's instead it's about a girl with a wrench.
Okay.
Instead of a pepper grinder. Yeah. Or instead of a drill. Yeah. I wanted to call it a pepper grinder.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's supposed to be a pepper
I think her
grinder.
Name is Pepper and that's her grinder.
And that's her grinder. Yeah.
I'm grinder. Pepper and this is my grinder.
Yeah. That's what's going on. Yeah. Yeah. And she is Cockney. It's kind of a British thing. Uh-huh. That's also part of why I like it.
I appreciate the map just being a straight Yoshi's Island rip.
Oh,
like
yeah.
just that we were just like, we want our map to look like the map in Yoshi's Island. And the way you go from level to level is basically exactly like Yoshi's Island.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yoshi's Island. We will be covering that on this show next year.
Is that a 95?
I think it's a 95 game. I might be wrong, but I think we will get to. Do we add anything to the list this week?
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah, no.
You don't want to add Pepper Grinder to the list?
No, I like Pepper Grinder, but it's not on. What? And with what? What would we take off?
Oh, come on. Let's come on. Get your big boy pants on. don't give me this.
I think y'all have been going so hot on putting stuff on the list that, like, there's just so much. The list is going to be half 94-24 by the end of the year.
Quit with your fake complaining. Nobody cares about that. Nobody cares about that, Matt.
I just can't imagine, like, where... Hunter's pulling up the list, and we can at least have the discussion.
We're having it right now.
I don't think I'm convinced.
What are you gonna kill?
Pepper Grinder.
What are you gonna kill?
Here's the thing.
We're not putting Open Roads on there. I don't want that.
No, it wouldn't. But, like, Pepper Grinder, at the best, is gotta be, like, in the 80s, 90s.
Okay.
Like, it's in the bottom 20. 80s, 90s, and today. But it's like...
So what do you want to kill?
Like, here's a way to put it. I don't like it as much as Chia. And Chia, I think you're, like, actively trying to get off the list. And I don't need to hold it on the list. Like, I don't care.
No, I'm not actively trying to get it off the list. You haven't really listened to the show in a while. I haven't checked in that much. I'm actually going through a Zen phase with the list, like I do sometimes. Because what I've noticed is that what happens is I get y'all on the re-ranking.
Sure.
Because I'm a great lawyer. And I spend all this time preparing my arguments, basically.
Why argue against yourself? If it's your list, you gotta
exactly.
Just,
so what I'm saying is I'm gonna wait for the re-ranking. You're the guest. So I will give you the silver bullet and just ask you to kill something on the list.
Nope.
And the other thing, too, is that when we've already established this as a precedent, although I don't remember if we ever said it on the show, there is going every year on the re-ranking episode, which we will continue to do. It will now be an end of the year thing. All of December is just going to be an end of the year episode
thing.
and one of them will be the re-ranking. All of the dead games from that year will be eligible for a second chance.
That's the best part.
And that's why I want you to kill something.
Is
because we need
more...
something else in the graveyard. to possibly resurrect. So the notion is,
I'm putting Pepper Grinder on, but I know full well it's going to get taken back.
Oh, I'm
going to
kill Pepper Grinder first thing on the re-ranking episode. And you know what sucks? Let's get this trash off here.
You know what sucks is when we get to that, we will not remember recording this episode too well, and you'll be like, why did we put Pepper Grinder on the list? And I won't remember why we did either.
And you won't remember either, which is how I will.
And you'll be like, Matt, you forced it. You forced it to be on the list.
Yes,
and
correct.
I'm sitting here dying to not put it on the list, but...
Get it
I'll
on the
play
list
your
right now.
Game.
Oh yeah, no, and I will. You can flat if you remember, which we won't remember. We're already saying we won't remember.
Absolutely not.
But I absolutely everything Matt is saying 100% correct. I am going to say, Matt, why'd you make us do Pepper Grinder? I don't even like that game. I'm gonna say that.
Yeah.
But Matt, you got to kill something. Okay, so you're saying 80s and 90s.
Yeah. My it'd be really funny to just kill Castlevania Bloodlines like right away.
I'm giving you a silver bullet. I'm giving you a silver bullet. You can kill whatever you want.
What's
I mean, honestly, me and Son, it got so bad. I just told Son that the next game title out of his mouth was dead. Because I was
and
just
he
like
just happened. What did yeah. I forget? I did listen to that, by the way, but I have a horrible memory.
Yeah.
I don't remember what Son killed.
It's hard for me to remember what Son killed too. Yeah. Son killed, what was it? I don't know. I don't remember.
Oh, well,
I know
cares?
He wanted to kill Command and Conquer in Grand Theft Auto 3. But then it wasn't quite that.
I think it's funnier if I have no desire to even put Pepper Grinder on the list, and I know it's going to go low, that I kill something higher that I just don't want on the list anymore.
Interesting.
So let's get up and see what can just be removed in general.
Okay.
Slow down now. Let's go
we're
back down. Let's be in the
50s. We're looking at the 50s. We're looking at the... Do you want me to read the 50s out to you for maximum drama?
Sure.
Okay, so our number 50 is Stanley
The 50s is like my list.
No,
the
it
50s.
Isn't.
The 50s are my, all, like all of my
the
children.
The 50s has Pikmin and Resident Evil 4 Remake and Fallout 2 and Quake. Those are all me games,
basically.
Even though I didn't even play Fallout 2.
You weren't on that episode at all.
I didn't play it. I wasn't on it. But yeah, all right, so you don't want the 50s in.
I did. None of the 50s are things that I want to see gone.
All right, what about the 40s then? Take a look at the 40s. What do you think?
That is... it'd be funny to kill the frog for whom the bell tolls, but I
it wouldn't
that
be funny.
Game.
That wouldn't be funny.
It'd be a mean,
actually,
mean thing to do to my friend EJ.
That's kind of you gotta. I don't
oh
think so.
Man, I don't know.
All right, I'm gonna take the same rule with Son as I took with you. Next game title out of your mouth, it's dead. It's just dead. So you better be careful not to say a game. Maybe this is a weird way to do it because then you just shut up.
We're killing Half-Life.
What?
Yeah.
All right.
Who
Half-Life
cares?
Is dead. I
Who
said.
Cares?
I said you got a silver bullet.
Who cares?
So we
Who cares?
Killed Half-Life.
What do we need Half-Life for? Neither of us even liked it.
Yeah, I mean it was not very fun, and that was mostly but it was a technical problem.
Sure.
And but yeah, no, I don't care.
It's
if
a historical game.
So where does Pepper Grinder go? Does it go
Whoa.
In the 65
no,
spot?
No, God, no, absolutely
okay,
not.
Okay, so so we're gonna be pushing Mass Effect up, which is hilarious. So Matt, what are we talking about here?
I
where are we
think
it?
Pepper Grinder. So something that sticks out to me is Inscription as like a baseline of a game that came out and people were hot on, and we were kind of. Like the lasting appeal though I'm not so sure I don't think about that game so much anymore and Pepper Grinder doesn't even have the heat behind it and Mm-mm. it's definitely not a game we're gonna think about like much in the future so
okay.
My point being it's under Inscription at 91
okay
and then from there I get a little bit more nebulous about it
it's not better than Sonic the Hedgehog 3 at number 92
right.
I'll tell you that much
yeah I think here's what I think I look at Solar Ash too at 97 which is another game where I'm like there's kind of a somewhat special place in my heart for that game, but also quite a bit of disappointment. And I think my disappointment in that game is greater than how I'm feeling for Pepper Grinder. So I think it's between those two. We're talking between 91, but above 97.
Let's just kick up everything. Like, because since we're killing something so high,
yep.
Let's just put Pepper Grinder above Solar Ash at the new number 96.
Yep.
And then we just shift everything else up.
But it
one.
Stays under Kingdom Hearts 2.
Stays under Kingdom Hearts 2.
Which is a funnier, more interesting game, essentially.
Yeah. Is it more funny or interesting, or is it just, we're just going to do, it'll
just
be all right.
I mean,
Kingdom Hearts 2 was more important to my life than this game could be. But yeah, okay, so Pepper Grinder, new number 96, sitting right above Solar Ash, right below Kingdom Hearts 2 for the PlayStation 2.
We did it.
I think eventually we will just kill all the Kingdom Hearts games and just have one, and it's not going to be Kingdom Hearts 1, 2, or 3. That's my prediction. It's going to be a weird Kingdom Hearts game, but eventually we'll have to get rid of all of them.
Yeah, it'll be just the song one. We'll just leave the song one on.
Yes, there'll be the rhythm game.
The rhythm game will be the Kingdom Hearts
which
we choose.
Which I've only heard very bad things about, actually.
Well, at least it's all the music.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
which
we
is
love
pretty
that
much
music.
The funniest part.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. That is correct. And I think that is a likely future for it. Also, I mean, it could be Birth by Sleep. I've always loved
maybe,
the title.
Maybe that if that game truly chooses to be almost no Disney, like maybe that's the one. I do think it'll be a Kingdom Hearts game that's like Disney doesn't. We don't need any of this Disney stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
There's
no
point to it.
Okay, well, hey, so there we go. There was your little episode. We got you a little. You got a bonus episode. You got your Patreon bonus, and we got a little episode for you. I am going to be. I think we take a little break here, and then I am going to come back later with a rundown because I need the I got to do we got a new poll that's going to be out in the rundown, and then I got to thank our Patreon supporters, and also I'm just kind of digging this new world where I sort of
where Hunter just runs the rundown.
I just do the rundown.
Hunter likes being the law.
Yeah, I kind of just do. It's
Did
becoming
you see,
a more
I
personal.
I feel like I'm thinking this is there was a Discord comment on the Space Cats Discord where somebody was like, Hunter, I'm loving these Hunter only rundowns. I think you're gonna ride high on.
I'm really milking it right now. It's just kind of a new thing that I do, and also like you know I just want I like the segments. You know I'm a big segment guy.
I think it showcases the differences in like how we are and how we how our brains are working when we're podcasting. Because of course I'm always like, let's move on to the next point. Let's get move or whatever. Like you can hear it in my interviews with Leader Games staff people I'm just like, we just get in and get out, and I don't luxuriate in the moment at all. And your rundowns, I've noticed, like you're hanging out and you're hanging out with the audience that kind of is there, but you just know they won't hear it for a while. And in the rundowns I've done by myself, I'm like, all right, here's your people, gotta go, bye everyone, that's the end of the show.
I stay in it. You know, and that's how I am as an interviewer too. I want them to talk as much as possible. I'm a fisherman, and I am just I cast like the just the tiniest little line, just a little line. And say, I have crazy interview tactics. Like, I'll say, like, talk more on that.
Tell me more.
What about more of that? And that's how you become a brilliant interviewer. I'm going to write a book about how to interview people.
It's just called Tell Me More.
Tell Me More. And because that's it. That's literally all you do. And you just keep doing it. And you don't tell them where you want to go. You let them say where this is going. And then they're just over there just like, oh, yeah. And I do it to myself, too. That's why I do the rundowns by myself.
The rundowns, you interviewing yourself?
I'm just saying, tell me more. What is this? Like, what do you want to talk about right now? And it gets very existential. You should check them out sometime.
I've been listening.
Oh, okay. Well, I definitely do them as if you're not listening. I'll tell you that much.
I know.
I definitely do it as if he will never hear this. Each time I'm like, he's never going to hear this, so I can say whatever I want. anyways, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back with just me. Say bye. Say bye.
Bye.
Hey, guess what? It's me. I'm here for a late night rundown with you. And it's just me and you tonight, and we're just gonna kind of get this done, and then we're gonna get out of here. Just got a few things I want to talk to you about. First of all, before I thank all the Poor Richard's Almanac, I want to let you know there's a new poll out for your April bonus episode. I've got four juicy options for you. The first option is a 1994. If you don't remember I'll explain how the bonus episodes work again real quick, but if you don't remember, the bonus episodes are, they're going to be extra episodes in the feed that don't count towards your total. You get four episodes every month. Now, sometimes the bonus episode might take the regular episode slot, as it did this week. And I have the right to do that. But I will say that overall, the whole point is that you're getting an extra episode every month. How they all come out is how they all come out. I'm going to guarantee you always get an episode on Tuesdays. But that bonus episode means you might get, one of the regular episode or the bonus episode could come out at a different time. Anyways, let's talk about your options for the April bonus episode. Your first option is a 1994 option. And it's three movies. Whoa, it's not even just one movie. It's three movies. It's a trilogy of movies called the Three Colors Trilogy. Now, this is a pretty artsy choice. So I am going to like kind of try to motivate you to pick this one. These are three movies that I have loved pretty much for, I don't know, probably about 15 years. I love these movies. I got them on 4K recently. They're technically French movies, although the director is Polish, and they are really fascinating. How do I pitch you on what they're about? They're kind of three very kind of grounded movies about French people living in France, dealing with various problems. A lot of them having to do with sort of infidelity is kind of a theme through the three of them. But each film kind of has its own genre and its own vibe, and they all take place in, you know, in the same place, and they have all these overlapping kind of ideas and symbols, and even the characters overlap as well from movie to movie. It's a really interesting project. It came out in 1994, so it feels like it would be a cool thing to talk about. I have other options that I feel like you're going to be a little more excited about, but if you want to know what Hunter's pick would be, it would be the Three Colors Trilogy. If you don't know what it is, before you vote, maybe check it out. These are like some of the best movies I've ever seen, and there's three of them. You would get a lot of content if you picked this one. I'll say that, because I'm going to be talking about three movies. There you go. There's that choice. Second choice is another 1994 pick. It's a album, it's music, which I wonder how often music is actually going to get chosen. It might not get chosen that often, but there is an album that came out actually in February of 1994 that I'd thought about talking about. It's an album by the indie rock band Pavement, which has always been very important to me, and I have some fun stories about really wanting to see Pavement because they reunited in the early 2010s, and I was in my early 20s and was kind of obsessed with this band. So they're kind of, you know, they're pretty important indie rock band. If you like, kind of slacker, smart dude indie rock is like how I describe it. They have an album that came out in February 1994 called Crooked Rain, which is, I don't know if it's my favorite one of theirs, but it's a really good one. And I would absolutely be down to talk about it. I'm also just kind of excited about eventually doing an episode about music. I think music is a fun thing to try and talk about in a podcast format, and I'm down to take on the challenge of that. All right, got two more options for you. Both of them are 2024 options, and they both are TV shows. Okay, so the first one is the new Fallout TV show, which is on Amazon Prime. It's based off of Fallout. You know what Fallout is, the games. And it's got Walton Goggins in it. It's got Matt Berry in it, supposedly. I think he's playing some like one-off comedic roles. And I don't remember any of the rest of the cast. I just know that it came out and people said vaguely good things about it. So I'm going to trust that it's not terrible. I will say, if you really, really love this show, don't count on me loving it as much as you do. I will say that. I probably won't love it as much as you do if you do, in fact, love this show. I don't know. We'll see, actually. I mean, if you end up picking it, we will see. The next is another TV show that I was kind of iffy about. There's the new, I believe it's on FX. It's called Shogun. It's an adaptation of a book that a friend of mine, I used to work at a pizza restaurant. I worked at many pizza restaurants. I don't know why I said a pizza restaurant. I worked at many, many pizza restaurants. And there was this cook there one time that let me borrow this book, Shogun, which is sort of, it's an interesting story. It's kind of like about like a Western guy going to like Japan when I think it's during the period of Japanese history where they like are not letting anyone in. Like they kind of close the borders. That might be wrong, but I feel like that was a part of it. Anyways, there's this big adaptation of it. Again, another thing that I was like, this is probably going to be horrible. It came out and it seemed like people said some pretty nice things about it, so it might be all right. So there you go. There are your two 2024 options, both TV shows. And then we've got the 1994 options. I was thinking about not even giving you any 2024 options because we could go back and forth with the poll. So we'll see what happens. I feel like the 1994 options are a little more in my neck of the woods. And then the 2024 stuff is more in y'all's neck of the woods.
And it, I'll say this, if y'all pick the 2024 stuff, I might take 2024 away for like a poll or two, just to force the 1994-ness. I maybe want to have some forced evenness. But also to be fair, I would not mind watching Fallout or Shogun, truly. But yeah, so that'll be, there's some fun options there. I'm into it. I'm definitely not against it. But yeah, so just please, if you're in the Patreon or if you want to join the Patreon, please, you know, hop on down and vote in that poll. But speaking of Patreon, I want to thank the Poor Richard's Almanac. Also, sorry, I'm being quiet because it's late at night. I'm recording this late at night and I don't want to wake anybody up. Everybody's sleeping, you know, but I just want to thank the Poor Richard's Almanac. I want to thank Iowan. I want to thank Brendan, Teddy's Jam for You, Zest Appeal, Cardinal Billy, Jukebox Hero. I'm so bad at this part. If Then, I want to thank DM Anonymous. I want to thank NPC Aaron, Anatroc, and Magnanimous. And yeah, thank you. Thank you all so much for supporting the show. And, you know, hop on down to that poll. Give it a good vote. This is, you know, it's, we got a really simple Patreon thing going here. And I gotta say, now that we figured out how the bonus episodes work, I really like it because honestly, now the bonus episodes have a purpose, which is that they give us something else to kind of be, you know, video games they're very chunky. Video games are chunky media. You have to sit down with one, you got to play it and you got to really form some opinions on it. And it doesn't even always have a you know, an absolutely final bit, you know? Whereas throwing some TV shows, throwing some movies in there, that's stuff that, yeah, I mean, a TV show takes a while to watch, but it's got a finite point where we just know like, okay, we're done with this. And that's it. And then, you know, if I ever get y'all to pick music, that'll be even easier. Okay. All right. I think I gotta go. I love having these solo rundowns with you. Maybe it's getting a little old, actually. I will say it is maybe getting a little old. I'm getting a little lonely doing these here. By myself, especially at weird times. So yeah, but you know, I hope you have a good week. I know this one came out much later than it was supposed to. The tournament, the Space Cats Peace Turtles tournament, is in full swing right now. So we are kind of really stuck on that right now. So yeah, I got a lot of work coming. So you're gonna get this episode, and then I think you're gonna get your next episode literally the next day or something like that. So that's really funny. But that's just how it's gonna be sometimes. Anyways, you know, good night. I hope you sleep well. Have good dreams, you know. And if it's morning, just wait. Just wait. Stop listening, you know. Stop listening in the morning. Listen at night. It's a nighttime show. Space Cats is a morning show. OGA is a nighttime show. We just decided that now. Anyways, okay. Adios. Bye-bye. Sayonara.
Old Gamers Almanac is produced by Matt Martins and Hunter Donaldson, with music by Knight Corey. If you liked our little show, consider giving us a 5-star rating or heading over to patreon.com/oldgamersalmanac.